Welcome, Andrew, to Writers Series.
And thank you very much for the invitation. It's great to be here.
So you are going to be the bad boy of Australian crime fiction. And as we deep dive into how you came about your writing career, you've also worked as a detective sergeant. Was that a career that you sought out, or did it come looking for you?
Well, I sought out the police force originally and spent 13 and a half years working as a police officer, most of that time as a detective. And I finished up as a detective sergeant. Most of the work I did was in relation to pedophilia and vice. And as a result, when I subsequently decided to start writing, that work has heavily informed the sort of crime fiction that I do write. I've also, after the police, spent a number of years as the chief investigator with the Corruption Commission in Sydney. So, government corruption and corruption generally is also a topic which features fairly heavily in my work.
As in any profession, there's the light and the dark end to it. And knowing that corruption is one of the themes in your work, and given your experience as an officer, how do you define corruption, given what you know?
Well, I mean, I guess to try and put it fairly simply, because it is a complicated subject, but essentially, corruption is those who the community or our society puts in a position of trust to then abuse that trust for their own personal gain. I guess that's it in a nutshell. I think that, and that's not just obviously government figures. We get corruption in the corporate world. We get corruption in churches. We get corruption in political parties. So it's unfortunately, I think it's one of those traits of human nature. But it certainly provides some fascinating material to write about. And look, one of the big motivations for me in deciding to write in the first place was, apart from wanting to tell an entertaining story, I hope, that's obviously a judgment for my readers to make. But it's also about putting out stories out there, which, whilst they are fictional, they are heavily based on a lot of it's heavily based on matters I've investigated or matters that I've seen over my career. And I'm wanting to tell people, as readers, these are things that actually go on out there in society. So hence it's often not very pretty, of course, a lot of it is a lot of my work is based on real events.
Prior to penning Harry's World, which turned into a trilogy, how were you initially introduced to the world of writing?
I think the simple answer for that is through reading originally. I've always been a big reader. I love reading, and I think if you're going to write, then it's essential to read widely to appreciate how words are used and how stories are told, because that's what it boils down to. I then messed around with little bits and pieces of writing for a number of years before I decided that I wanted to actually start and write the first novel. So that process for the first novel started in about 2010. And then, of course, I published the first novel in 2015. So it took about 5 years to get that first novel finished, but I was working full time in corporate type roles for almost all of that period. So writing was fairly limited to weekends. And then I finally got that first book published, and the rest has gone from there. So the second novel was published in 2018, and the third novel, which is nearing completion now, should be published later this year.
As an award-winning author, when you pen Harry's World, did you think it would unfold into what has become a trilogy?
I didn't know how far it would go. I knew it was going to move on beyond just the first novel. Yes, that was always the intention. Whether it will stop with the trilogy again, I don't know. I enjoy my character, Harry. I enjoy the other characters that I've developed as the stories have gone on. And I think there are still stories to be told. So whilst the trilogy will wrap up the significant story arc, there is plenty of opening, I think, to continue with other Harry novels. I do write Harry short stories, which are standalone stories, but I expect that there will probably be another novel or two after the trilogy. Yes.
Harry Kenmare happens to be one of the pivotal characters. Is this someone that you identify with, or is it based on someone that you know?
Not based on any one character. There are aspects of Harry's character, which some of those aspects are personal. Not all of them, but some are. Others are based on various characters I've seen over the years. So I guess, as with a lot of characters in fiction, Harry is a mixture of various influences, and has developed into the character that he is, and obviously the character keeps developing as the stories get told.
Focusing on character development, do you have any tips for new and existing writers of what they need to focus on to create a character that could live on?
Okay, I think the first, to me, the first key thing would be making a character who is believable. And I think it's also important that a character needs to have, I mean, if it's going to be one of your main characters and you do want them to carry on, apart from not just being a side character, but to have a main character, I think you need to have at least some parts of them which the reader can also relate to and the reader can like, you know, fall in love with perhaps. But I think if a character is completely bad, then readers are not going to want to keep engaging with them. I think if a character is completely good, I don't think that's believable because all human beings have flaws, and that's partly what makes us interesting as human beings. So I think in terms of creating the character for the longer term, a character with mixed characteristics, obviously having some flaws, but also being believable and likable as a character for the reader. I guess that would be my main tip there.
Because some of the running themes happen to be corruption, crime, sex, scandal. How are you able to keep these storylines fresh in a writing space where many other people have their unique take on it?
Look, I think it's about being original in your stories. Certainly, I mean, some things crop up time and time again in crime fiction. Some of the tropes that are used or occur, and I think that's fine. You can still take a fresh take on things and bring your own particular flair and imagination to the story. Look, at the end of the day, it's about crafting a story which the reader can get into and they want to read more and they want to keep going to the end of the book. And one of the best, I think, bits of feedback you can get from somebody when they talk to you about the book is, "Oh, I couldn't put it down. I just wanted to get through to the end and see what happened." That's great. If you've engaged the reader, that's the key to it. Because if you don't engage the reader, they're not going to want to read through to the end of the book. And therefore, it obviously hasn't worked for them as a story. So I think in terms of bringing a fresh eye to it, that needs to be done. And obviously, cliches need to be avoided as much as possible. I think for me, one of the, I suppose, benefits, you could call it that, I have with my professional background is that it's being able to bring that crime and the corruption onto the page, but also with the realism to it, because I've been out there and I've investigated crime, I've investigated corruption, and so and I've dealt with the people involved in it. So I think being able to bring that touch of realism to it is important. Absolutely.
As a writer, compared to when you started out with your first book, is there some change that you have recognized in how you approach the craft of writing?
Several, I think. One is, I think I'm much, I feel much more comfortable with it now, and much more confident in it. I think the to me, the biggest challenge, in the time I've been writing, which is what, about 13 years now, I've been writing, seriously. The biggest challenge was that first novel, because, once that was done and I'd published it, and that exciting moment when you open the boxes as they arrive and you pull out the first copy, it's that feeling of then, okay, I can do this and I have done it. At that point, of course, it's all on one level, theoretically, you've got a manuscript or parts of a manuscript. But once you publish that first book, I find it easier after that. I have found it easier after that. I know, some authors do say, the second novel is the hardest or whatever. I don't agree with that. I've found it easier as it's gone on because I'm more comfortable with the writing. I'm much more comfortable with the editing, and putting down the story. I think, the best lesson I've learned is the need to be disciplined in terms of writing time. Because if you can't write full time, and look, most authors can't because they need to do other work in order to make a living. So if you can't write full time, then you really have to be disciplined in terms of having a writing schedule so that it keeps getting done. Because otherwise, it's the sort of activity that very easily gets put off and things don't get done. So having that discipline in terms of having output in terms of your writing material, I think is absolutely key. And look, I mean, in terms of as things have gone on, I don't find myself any short of story ideas at all. I think I've got a lifetime of stories to keep going and telling. So I think I'll always have fresh material. Absolutely.
Andrew, you referenced editing. Did you end up editing your own work, or did you welcome the aid of a third party?
Both is the answer to the question. I do a lot of editing and levels of, and the different levels of editing on the manuscript once it's finished. For the novels, I also then had a professional editor later on in the stage go over and do a professional edit as well. Not so much for the content in terms of the story, but in terms of continuity problems, mistakes, those sort of things. I think it is really important to have that separate set of eyes going over your work, especially when it's a novel length. Short stories, I don't think is quite as problematic, and I tend to edit my own short stories only as myself. But for the novels, yeah, absolutely. Having somebody else to look over them is very important. And editing is such a big part of the writer's work, because that first draft you put down with your story in it, that's all well and good. And that's in some ways is the hardest part, because that's the creative juices coming out of your head onto the paper or onto the computer screen. But the editing is what really polishes it and pulls it together. And yeah, editing, there can be changes as well to the storyline. Perhaps if you look at things afterwards, think, hang on a minute, that doesn't work with what something that's gone before. So to give you an example, so the second novel, Harry's Quest, the version that finally went to the printing press was version number 10. So that gives you an idea of the number of different levels and layers of editing that have to be done. And that included a professional editor going through it later on towards the end of that process to make sure that it was looking as professional as possible. So yes, editing is absolutely crucial. And I think if you're going to write a novel, certainly you do need a separate set of eyes to look over it.
I could speak from experience where a version 13 went to editing. So it is quite a process. And from my experience, I had to tell myself, okay, when you reach this version, you promise you will send it off to the editor because it could go on forever.
Oh, you're so right there. Absolutely. It's yes, you can. You can keep editing and editing and editing until the cows come home, of course, but then nothing will get finished. And I think that look, the other point is that you get to a point where you start to get sick of reading your own work. And I think when you've got to that point, I think it is important to say, right, enough's enough. It's going off to press now. And look, in the acknowledgement that there will be some mistakes in there. There always are. I mean, look, most of the books I read, I tend to average reading a book a week. Most of the books I read are from the professional, sort of the big commercial publishing houses. I do read some self-published stuff and some stuff from smaller publishing houses. But even the stuff coming out of the big publishing houses, and I think because you've ended up editing your own work so much, you read with a more focused eye as well. But the number of mistakes you find in books which are coming out from the major publishers is quite amazing. So, look, I think and I've looked at, my novels, and you reread passages further, ages later, and you think, hang on a minute, how did that mistake get through all the processes? So, look, if there's one or two errors in there, typographical errors or whatever, well, I think you just have to live with that. But now you're absolutely right. And if you get to, once you got up to 10, 12, 13 versions, I think you are getting to the point where you've probably had enough of looking at it. And I think it's important, I think, then to obviously to get it out. As long as you are happy with it. But I think being happy with the manuscript that goes to press, to me anyway, is about being happy to the level that, yeah, I think that looks good, rather than that's perfect, because nobody's ever going to produce a perfect manuscript. So, and I think some people do probably spend too much time trying to get to that level of perfection, whereas I think it's more important to get it out there looking good. And that's why I do say editing is so important, because you see some self-published, particularly stuff that's out there, and you look at it and think, hang on, where was the editing? Because it's quite atrocious sometimes. So yeah, it's important, but yeah, you've got to find that balance between, yes, it's looking good and professional, versus it's never going to be perfect. And if I keep trying to get it perfect, I'm going to be here in 5 years' time still editing the same manuscript.
You do touch upon the two nuggets of wisdom. One has to do with not flirting with the whole idea of perfection, because there are people who freeze and they don't take action to publish. And the other one had to do with editing. I interviewed a writer 7, 8 years ago, and I remember he told me there are no great writers, there are great rewriters.
Look, I think it's, to me, the writing and the rewriting is all part of the same process.
Exactly.
And so I think I look. I think there are great writers out there. I've read plenty of what I would regard as great writers. But if you, I think for any writer, if you read their first draft, you'd think that's a bit of a mess. So because I've never produced a good looking first draft, and I doubt any writer has. I mean, I'd be welcome to stand corrected on that one, but I think that's just the nature of the process. First draft is about getting your ideas, and that also then comes back to that. Subject is often talked about that, don't self-edit when you're doing your first draft, because it's about getting, what's in your head down on paper or down on screen, whichever way you're doing it. And then going through later, because look, I mean, that first draft is so important, but I think, yeah, just get it out there, because you can polish it as much as you want afterwards. There's no problems there. But yeah, getting it out there. But so I think, yes, rewriting is important, but to me, it's the writing and then the rewriting. That's all part of the same process. So, yeah, I would certainly say there are great writers out there, yes.
And as we start to wrap things up, we already touch upon your tip for setting time aside to write and the wisdom behind editing. Is there any other tip that you would like to share with audience?
I think a couple. One, and I've already touched on one, and that's about telling a good story. You want people to read the story. You have to get them into that story and entertain them on whatever level you choose, but it needs to be something that grips them. But the other, I suppose, one of the bugbears for me is about realism. And whilst I like to write fairly hardcore crime, it's my background, so it's fairly gritty realism. I read a lot of crime fiction as well, and I think careful research about the details is important, so that you end up with what is a realistic story, but also a story that doesn't have fundamental faults in it. So to give you an example, for crime writing, often you'll have somebody that got a revolver in their hand, and you read that they've taken off the safety catch. Something like that is such a basic error, because revolvers don't have safety catches. And yet I think I've probably read that in published books maybe three or four times from crime authors. So I think doing research is really important to get things right, because, okay, a lot of your readers may not ever pick up on that error. Some of them will. And I know that when I find one of those fundamental errors in a book, it actually pulls me out of the story and detracts from the story. So I think doing careful research is important. And if you can't do the careful research, or you don't want to research a particular area or whatever, then perhaps leave some of that detail out of the story rather than getting it wrong. And look, and these days with the internet and all the rest of it, research is so much easier. And I mean, when I'm doing my research, using Google Maps and that sort of stuff for locations you're not familiar with is fantastic. I mean, the current novel that I'm working on, the first episode in there is set in Laos. Now, I've never been to Laos, but the characters are over there for a particular thing that they're doing. So using Google Maps, you can work out where the streets are in a town. You can have a look at Street View. You can have a look at the buildings. You can look at Google Maps, and then you can work out, well, that's the road heading up the hill, because I want them up a hill so they can dispose of a body in a certain valley or ravine. And then you can look at the Google Maps and the satellite images and all the rest of it, and you can get a lot of that detail down. And I mean, I'll even use it here in Sydney for areas, when I'm if I've got them got them pulling into a petrol station, making sure that on Google Maps there is actually a petrol station on that side of the road when they're heading in that direction. It's that sort of thing, which and some people might find that a bit tedious, but I think it's those details which when if readers pick up on them as being incorrect, I think that's a problem. So yeah, realism, it's a big bugbear of mine, as you probably just gathered from that little rant. I hope that wasn't too long.
That's very wise because you never know. One day you might be giving a tour to readers who want to know about Harry's world.
Absolutely.
And finally, Andrew, you're welcome to share with audiences any projects that you're working on that you referenced just earlier and where people can contact you.
Okay, well, my best contact is my website, which is www.abpatterson, that's PATTERSON, .com.au. That's the website. That's my home online. And social media links are all on there. I'm on all the social media platforms. I use some more than others. But in terms of current projects, well, the third novel, which is Harry's Grail, that's the title of it, that's getting towards completion now. So I'm expecting that to be published hopefully around September time this year. I'm also working on further short stories and a couple of anthologies as well. So there's always plenty of projects to work on, lots of writing to be done, and obviously fitting that in amongst the other work that has to be done to pay all the bills. So,
Thank
but
you for sharing your wisdom with us today, Andrew.
my pleasure, Sasha. Thank you very much for speaking with me. It's been great.
Thank you.
All right, take care.